file their teeth. But the Western European and North American diet results in mushrooming, that's a bad word, dental decay. For example, when the traditional Eskimo diet was based on fish, seal, and walrus meat, with some vegetable matter in summer, maybe, a little bit of tundra here and there, their teeth remained sound, but when trading posts were established, selling manufactured foods and foods of high sugar content, then teeth decay skyrocketed. Another recent example was provided by the islanders of Tristan da Cunha, who had very sound teeth while on their diet consisting mainly of fish, of meat, and vegetables, which included potatoes. But then somebody opened a shop selling manufactured foods, and very quickly the entire picture changed, and tooth caries became obvious. Our modern diet seems tailor-made for tooth decay on a scale unimaginable in primitive society. So if you're a young person thinking about becoming a dental technician, I would suggest there is a wide-open area of future employment for young people. Americans may be concerned about the price they're paying for food, but the price they're paying may involve a lot more than just dollars. It may involve their whole health and their lives.
Australians live in one of the best-fed sick societies in the world. But an abundance of good food is no absolute guarantee of good health. The Plain Truth magazine explores the growing world health problem and brings you principles which can guarantee lasting good health. Incisive articles of understanding discuss health practices in the home, use and misuse of drugs, pollution, and your health. Safety and accident prevention, world health. The Plain Truth comes to you monthly with articles covering the complete spectrum of world news and the issues which affect you and your family every day. It's full color throughout, published in 5 languages, and read by more than 6 million people. The Plain Truth will be sent free of charge. There is no follow-up. Request The Plain Truth, a magazine of understanding. Send your request to Ambassador College, Box 345, GTO, Sydney, New South Wales.
You know the history of bread? It's a good case in point, because bread, of course, is one of the oldest known staples of life to all of human beings. You can trace it back to Egypt, Babylon, Greece, Rome, the most ancient civilizations of all, for thousands of years. Back in ancient Israel, bread was considered the staff of life. In Europe and other countries, they still do it much differently than we do, though the idea of the enriched bread and so on is certainly caught on in many a country. I always marvel at the idea of seeing French men with their bicycles and maybe a long loaf of French bread tucked under their arm, or maybe sticking out of a bicycle rack on the back of a bicycle way back in the 50s and just after World War II, when you would see French laborers going off to work with just this one loaf of bread, and they would eat some cheese and maybe drink some wine. Well, even Jesus used bread as an example of the physical necessity of life. And bread, of course, is made from grains, and especially the grain of wheat. Wheat is one of the most complete foods known to man. It contains vital nutrients such as zinc, iron, calcium, potassium, magnesium, phosphorus, vitamin B1, vitamin B2, B3, vitamin E. It contains manganese, panathenic acid, chromium, in addition to many other vitamins, minerals, proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. For thousands of years, so-called primitive milling processes were used to grind the nutritious kernels of wheat into flour, which was then made into bread. Whole wheat bread was symbolic of the simple life back in history. A higher-grade flour made by sieving this coarse flour was available to the wealthy only. But the Industrial Revolution made white flour available to everybody. Today, we make bread in great automated factories, mixing the dough, shaking it, letting it rise, baking it, cutting and wrapping it, all in one continuous, giant, mechanized operation. The tragedy is that the flour we use today is called pure, refined, white flour, which has most of its nutritive value discarded or destroyed. In fact, 70% to 80% of the most vital nutrients in wheat are thrown away. Thus, the baker must enrich, at least that's what they call it, the bread, by adding a few of these vital nutrients back into the flour, usually in a four, which is thiamin, riboflavin, niacin, and iron. Yet the final pure white, enriched product is only a nutritional shadow of the original whole wheat, which really is a pathetic travesty. But that's not all. The bread must also be preserved. Nitrogen trichloride was used until 1956 to aid, bleach, preserve, and sterilize the flour, but Finally, when they found it was causing ticks in dogs, they quit that, so today, chlorine dioxide is used to bleach and age the flour. The bread dough is also conditioned, they call it a dough conditioner, with chemicals such as sodium stearate, fumarate, and some of those words are hard to pronounce, but that's all right, we don't know what they mean on the labels anyhow. Anti-staling agents are also added, softeners, emulsifiers, and extenders are used to maintain the bread even when it does go stale, so you can eat it with its mold. Mold inhibitors, that is, sodium propionate, are also added, and you read that on the label nearly every time you buy a package of bread. And then, as if to add insult upon injury, artificial colorings and flavorings are added, too. So that when you buy brown bread, you're actually buying white bread that has had some color added. Well, by this time, it looks nice. Most people agree that it feels nice to squeeze the package, and it smells nice, and it tastes nice. But nutritionally, by the time all of this has happened to that original grain of wheat, it has become almost totally worthless to eat. And maybe we don't consider what happens to the grain of wheat before it is even grown. It is grown usually on depleted soil. Soil that has been artificially and chemically fertilized. Soil that has been misused and abused by abandoning, forgetting, not knowing, or in some way rebelling against the natural laws of conservation of nature and of good and fertile soil. But then chemical fertilizers, then the spraying of the wheat, the treating of the soil itself to prevent root and stem rust and the like. And then finally, after it is harvested, they remove the bran. Now the bran is in this outer hull. So they take all of that off. That's looked at as crude fiber, but actually that would be very important to us. As a matter of fact, it's been shown that food takes 6 to 8 times longer to pass through the intestine, pardon my language, in Western countries and in parts of Africa and India, where the staple diet is whole grain food. Much of it grown in the United States of America. Any relationship here to intestinal problems? Wheat germ, the germ of the wheat, is also rejected because it tends to spoil too easy, and the wheat germ contains a high percentage of protein, essential oils, vitamins, and minerals. And then the endosperm, sort of the flowery center of the wheat that you can look at if you peel a grain yourself with your own thumbs, is all that remains of the wheat while they get through throwing the rest of the way and then selling it back to you in a jar that says wheat germ, which you might want to sprinkle on your cereal to enrich it further. Largely consisting of starch and poor quality protein. That's what we're doing, then, to our grain of wheat. Is it any wonder that we are increasingly a sick and a degenerate society? We are what we eat, and what we're doing to our foods before we get a chance to eat them shouldn't happen to a dog.
Thousands starve daily because the 10% of Earth's surface which is productive is not enough to meet growing food demand. Yet if man could level most of the vast mountain ranges, raise up some of the deep arid desert valleys, renew the depleted jungle soils, and provide good gentle rain in due season, that he would have additional millions of acres of farmland. Man would have a solution to feeding the Earth's teeming population. Will such an answer be found? How will tomorrow's world be made free of starvation with the hunger bomb diffused? This free booklet titled A Wonderful World Tomorrow shows you the brilliant future ahead for man in a world where today's problems will be solved. It offers hope for the future and has a sure basis for that optimism. Be sure to write today for this free booklet, A Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. Send your request to Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO Sydney, New South Wales. That's Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO Sydney, New South Wales.
The United States of America has the highest standard of living in all of history. Barring food shortages and fuel shortages and spiraling prices and all of the other weather upsets that come along to plague us, if you take the average workaday picture of Mrs. Housewife going into the supermarket that is laden with all of these foods, and you figure in the fact that middle-income families spend $2,500 or more on food each year, yet, in the United States, with our tremendously high standard of living, we are terribly malnourished. We are overfed and undernourished, and we are ready now for attacks of disease. So when you see these Asian flus or anything else coming sweeping across the United States, it seems it takes a terrible toll because our resistance is so much lowered. The United States is the only nation in the world that the World Health Organization has shown no increase in life expectancy in the last 20 years. Educated people who are well informed on political and social subjects haven't the slightest notion of what constitutes a good meal. The modern housewife doesn't cook that much. She just keeps the refrigerator stocked, maybe throws a steak on, opens a couple of cans, dumps a couple of packages of this and that, and most of it is done pretty much automatically. Snacks and goodies and other things, even making up parts of casseroles, and lots of snack types of food kept conveniently there for the kids, plus ice cream and soda pop. And of course, even our so-called good foods are fortified, if that's the word, enriched, colored, processed, and preserved, so much of the nutrition is lost or rendered unavailable. We asked Dr. Michael Rabin, clinical nutritionist, what foods are nutritionally the most desirable.
Can refined foods actually be fortified to become nutritionally adequate? In other words, you see white bread that's fortified with extra minerals and vitamins.
This is ridiculous, because who are we to tell nature what a food must consist of? You see, our knowledge is inadequate in understanding nature, so that, in my opinion at least, I feel we should go along and live in consonance with nature rather than to try to impose our inadequate ideas upon it. For example, we talk of people using vitamins, and they are, let us say, thiamine hydrochloride. This is vitamin B1. This is the form in which it is most convenient for chemists to make it. But where thiamine exists in a food, in a whole food, it is there as combined with a large protein molecule. And the action is different because there are no two chemicals that act exactly alike in any individual.
What is the purpose in breaking down all these foods and recombining them and then trying to put back the nutrition you've taken out by taking away the husk?
Only a longer shelf life so that you can buy embalmed foods to embalm you. Now, let me proceed further. You wanted to know about all the other things. Well, you may have meat, seafood, poultry, eggs, butter, cream, sour cream, fresh vegetables, fruits, nuts, and seeds.
What we're talking about basically then is just the diet of a farm family of 50 years ago.
Exactly, before we became the fittest nation in the world.
Would you say that in the nutritional balance, things like fresh air and exercise and peace of mind are also necessary?
In order to preserve your health, maintain it, you need two things: good food and daily exercise, not the weekend golfer or the once-a-week exercise, but daily exercise.
The point I want to make is that eating refined, preserved, processed, enriched, fortified, and otherwise in some way processed foods in order to have longer shelf life for the convenience of the manufacturing company, but who couldn't give a hang about anything except the dollar's value it seems to the product, is slowly killing a lot of millions of people. Not that that product by itself is going to, but the fact that the nutritional value is just not there. And we could return to a very good diet that wouldn't take all that amount of work. Might be a pretty good idea, as a matter of fact, to begin to grow a lot of our own food. And if we knew the size of the crisis, I would venture to say that a lot of Americans would be out busily plowing up their front yard right now. We asked a home economist how to eat a nutritional, balanced diet without excessive spending.
We're here today talking with Val Vandeveer, home economist. And Val, how can the average home technician or housewife save money at the market today with the rising, spiraling food prices?
There are many ways to save money at the market. I might mention a few, such as planning your menus. When you plan your menus, plan your menus for a week. Only shop once a week. Read the newspapers for food items that are on special or in season. Plan your menus around those items. It isn't worth your time to go all over town to each store. You spend a lot of gas doing that. But if you pick two stores and do your biggest shopping at two stores.
What about this thing of impulse buying and that women are wont to do? Is part of the food bill based upon impulse buying?
Very definitely. I think it's a good idea to shop by yourself. Leave your children at home, leave the rest of the family at home, and shop by yourself. Because then you don't have to contend with other members of the family's favorites. Another thing I might mention is that you spend a half an hour in a store, not over a half an hour, because after a half an hour, your impulse to buy is greater. When you go to the market, don't go to the market hungry. Eat before you go, because this can make a big difference in the food dollar.
How would you define nutrition? What is it, basically?
Well, most people in the nutrition field think of the basic four, and of getting four food groups into your menu. You have your bread group, your milk group, your meat group, and the vegetables and fruit group.
So if one were taking from each of these on a daily basis, they would be getting a balanced diet.
Well, you may not have just one serving from each group. Some of the basic four require more than one serving. And again, what is in that food that you're buying in that particular basic group, in your cereal and bread group? What kind of cereal and bread are you buying?
Let's talk a moment about processed foods. I think you alluded to it earlier. Is there much nutritional value in some of these packaged things that are so prevalent on the market today that are highly processed and refined?
Absolutely not. And yet the American housewife is buying them. And you know that they're selling them because, let's face it, it's supply and demand. And every month, new packaged, new processed foods are coming out. So the American housewife is evidently demanding it because they're buying it.
And let's face it, the average housewife is buying prices. She's buying what she can afford on that narrowly constricted budget because of rising costs and sometimes wages that don't quite seem to keep pace if you can't stretch far enough to be able to take those vacations, buy a boat, a camper, a color television set, all the beautiful gadgets in those multiple, complex, terribly electrified kitchens of ours with double ovens and all the other gadgets and things to pulverize food such as blenders and the like, which is not a bad thing. But when you have all these other demands on your income, you don't really shop for nutrition. Most people don't, as much as they do prices. If you want continuing articles on the health of your child, of your family, and of your own personal health and well-being, whether physical or mental, then your name needs to be on the mailing list of the Plain Truth magazine. Articles almost every single issue on diet, exercise, drugs, physical health, proper sleep, mental attitudes, the very physical and mental well-being of every individual. The Plain Truth magazine deals with the kind of articles you as a human being need. When you take surveys of the man on the street, you find that their food, their own health, joblessness, hospitalization, insurance costs, rising costs of living, especially in foodstuffs and transportation. And, of course, we all know the energy crunches here. We know that brownouts and blackouts are likely. We know that people are having to slow down and share rides, and some people are hitchhiking, and a lot of people have tried to buy different kinds of automobiles and get more gas mileage as a result of the energy crisis. Well, this kind of an article that shows you shortcuts that you can really use and helps you understand the current trends and conditions in world conditions is exactly what the Plain Truth magazine is all about. You need your name as never before on the mailing list of the Plain Truth magazine, a magazine of understanding. Our regional editors abroad in articles from the point of view of peoples in starving Africa and Asia to the Philippines and Southeastern Asia, some of the nations of Laos, Cambodia, of all of the people in, whether it's Australia, South Africa, in the Western world. We have regional editors abroad in offices all around the world, on-the-spot photographers and interviewers ready with their cameras and microphones to bring you a unique kind of a magazine that really goes behind the scenes to appraise not just today's news, but what it means, what happens from here, putting it all together to give you the overview of world conditions in the light of Bible prophecy. For example, articles in the current number have to do with the upcoming and continuing crisis in the Catholic Church, the Philippines, a nation in turmoil. Also a terrible article on drought-stricken Africa, what is happening in the western part of what used to be the French Sahara of Africa. The personal from the editor, my father, Herbert W. Armstrong, on the alarming rise in divorce posing a major threat to the United States and the Western world. Upcoming articles in the current number, Why the World Needs Christmas. And an article on the ultimate bulwark against drug abuse, and this having to do certainly with the health of your child, how that ultimate protection against drug abuse is the family. And it's time we understood the crucial role of the family in protecting children from drugs. It's called Don't Let It Happen to Your Child. That's an article in the current number of the Plain Truth magazine. Another one on UFOs and life of outer space. Is there life out there? What are the chances we may someday communicate with extraterrestrial beings? That's an article in the coming issue of the Plain Truth magazine. And the article on Bonn, Moscow, old enemies joining hands, growing cooperation between two former enemies raising ominous questions about Europe's future. As I said, with regard to physical health, mental health, peace of mind, if you have your name on a mailing list of the Plain Truth magazine, you'll be sure to get these articles almost every single number, and along with them, other articles you need as well. And all you need to do is to request it by sending your letter to Post Office Box 345, Sydney, New South Wales. Be sure to tell us the call letters of your station. We need that. That's all. There is no cost, but tell us the name of the radio station to which you've been listening, the call letters, and then send your letter to Box 345, Sydney, New South Wales. Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have been listening to The World Tomorrow. If you would like more information, write to Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO, Sydney, New South Wales.